You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to Horsemanship Radio. I'm Debbie Roberts-Laux from the Monty Roberts International Learning Center in Solvang, California, where for decades we've been exploring Monty's belief that horses and humans communicate best through patience, observation, and trust. Since 2013, this podcast is a place where we share those discoveries and conversations with horse experts and horse lovers who are all enjoying the journey to understand the horse a little bit better. Whether you're in the saddle every day or simply love learning about horses, we're glad you're here. You know, here at the Monty Roberts International Learning Center, we're always experimenting with ways to help horses feel their best, because a comfortable horse is a thinking horse. One of the tools we've added to our daily program is the Dry Me Solarium, and we've loved what it does for the horses. This gentle infrared heat helps relax muscles, increase the circulation, and it's a wonderful way to help horses dry and recover after work. It's the kind of thoughtful care that fits beautifully with Monty's philosophy of listening to the horse and supporting them physically and mentally. So we're really proud to welcome Dry Me Solarium as the title sponsor of Horsemanship Radio. If you'd like to learn more about how these systems support horse well-being, visit dryme.usa.com. That's dryme.usa.com. And use the promo code MONTY1 for $150 off your purchase. That's MONTY, the number one, for $150 off your purchase. And now let's get back to the show. Well, welcome. We have another certified instructor in the room, but he has been here, boy, teaching for longer than most that I get to have on this podcast. I'm really happy to introduce Chris Morris.
Hi.
Yeah, from south of London.
South of London, near Brighton in the UK.
There we are. Yeah. And it's a beautiful area, and I'm going to encourage you, even before you hear Chris, that you might want to put this on your bucket list, because he has lots of classes, lots through the year, and has lots of experience. So, Chris.
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very happy to have you here. We just wrapped up an introductory course.
We did. It was a really busy introductory course. It was a big group of students, and I love teaching the introductory stuff. I love being back here in the classroom in the California weather. So it's been great coming back.
Great. Thank you. Well, it is always a privilege and pleasure to have you back too. You're such a good teacher.
Thank you.
And I think all the students definitely agreed with all that. We had 9 students.
Yeah, we did.
How many horses did we end up using, just approximately? Oh, goodness.
I think on the list, there was about 15 horses
there
that we
are.
Used.
So yeah.
It was a busy course.
Yeah, it was busy that way. And it wasn't like all 15 needed training or anything.
No.
But the 15 were because we, you know, hey, let's pull this guy out and play with this idea. And,
yeah. And it helps, you know, the introductory level horses. And like you say, they haven't got any problems, but they all do things slightly differently. So it's good for the students to start learning how to read their horses whilst they're working with them, which is the key to it all.
It is. It is the key to all. And I love how you started the first day of the class. It was kind of fun for me. Because, yeah, he's laughing. Because it was so simple. So elegant.
Okay.
And I think everybody understood it, but they were blown away. You know, really, their minds were blown by, you said something, I'm going to let you finish this part, but you said something about all questions can be answered with one answer, ultimately, for good horsemanship.
Yeah, I mean, I think before, like, people come to the classes for lots of different reasons. They're either beginners or they have a lot of experience, but ultimately, obviously, they're attracted to Monty's concepts and nonviolent horsemanship and actually starting the communication between themselves and the horse to make the training easier. But what I think is absolutely fundamental when you start working with horses, before you get into the concepts and the kind of how we do stuff, is ultimately when you're working with a horse, you're either asking it to move or not, at its basic, most basic element. So I think I spend quite a lot of time on the courses getting that over to students. Until you can figure out how and why they move in response to your own body, then once you get that, it makes everything else flow much, much easier. And you start really spotting, how does the horse turn? What bit of its body does it start moving first? So once you understand how they interact with you and how they actually naturally move in the field. Once you get that, when you then come to do a join up and start learning long lining, those kind of basic fundamentals of how a horse moves and how you get them to move makes the long lining, makes learning the join up easier rather than taking it as a mechanical recipe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I think about it.
So it's rooted in, well, they're flight animals, aren't they?
They are flight animals. And what I find interesting is that no matter what level you are at, is you're never teaching a horse to do a move it doesn't already know how to do. They do it in the field when they're playing. Mm-hmm. They do all of the fancy dressage stuff. I'm not saying it's easy to teach them that on cue with a rider, but if you look at how they move in the field when they're interacting with each other, playing with each other, or having a bit of an argument with each other, mm-hmm. you can really start spotting, well, that's that move, that's that flying lead change. How do they actually move their body to do it? So when we're then teaching them, if I can ask them to move the bits of the body in order that they naturally do, it makes the thing that I want easier to teach.
Ooh, I like that. So it's an order too,
yeah.
An order thing. First comes this, then yeah, comes that between the two horses.
Between the two horses. And it's, if a lot of the horses with all of these moves, well, how do they physically shift their weight back? What bit of their body do they move to do it? Mm. And often when you see training videos, it's the human idea of, what bit do I move on cue with the rein or the leg? And often it's in the slight wrong order of the way the horse does it in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, well, just ask them the way they do it. It's mm-hmm. just easier.
Okay, easily said, but you got to come see how he does this. It's amazing. Yeah, so you did a little work in the yard.
Yeah.
And then you had each student doing that in the yard, seeing if they could get, well, maybe not on the first day.
No, not
but seeing if they could get that same reaction. And one of the fun things that I really hope that this legacy of Monty Roberts, all the concepts, move forward as pure as possible in that piling on all mm-hmm. of his experience
yeah.
and observations and timing and all those things, too. And I think you're right on the top of the list, too, with somebody who's replicated that. Well, you've practiced a lot, so you should be good.
We have practiced a lot. Yeah, I know. I've been doing it a while. Not as long as Monty.
Yeah, you've been certified since.
Monty certified me in 2012, and then I started work on horses probably 4 or 5 years before that. I didn't grow up with horses. I wasn't a horsey person, but I did grow up next to a farm and they had big, heavy horses. And I was just used to hopping the fence and playing around with these big draft cross type horses. And I was the kind of kid that, well, if I do something wrong and I jump on your back and you buck me off or I fall off, then it's me that's done something wrong. If I can figure out a way to interact and play with you, then I must be doing something right. Yeah. So those are kind of my earliest memories with horses. And I just seemed to be, I didn't know what I was doing, but if I went to a yard and people were having problems with like a thoroughbred type that couldn't be caught, it was often me, oh, Chris is here, go and get that horse.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing. None.
But you didn't tell him.
But I didn't tell him. But you know, it's just kind of like, well, I seemed to be able to get closer to the horses that were a bit more highly strung. I didn't know which side you were supposed to stand on to put a head collar on because, you know, who cares? The horse doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But if the object is to put a head collar on that horse, I could usually do it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I could do it. I enjoy being around them. I've always been fascinated by their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of route that I started to go. I actually got a degree in animal behavior first, but you know, what do you do for a job with that?
Yeah.
So
I found one though.
I found one. I like knowing how they, you know, how we think they think, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to kind of, like Monty, kind of spend most of your time just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I think? And can you replicate it? But I just didn't have the experience of being around horses all day, every day, looking after them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gone and had traditional riding lessons in the UK, mm-hmm. but I hated it.
Oh.
It was a very stereotypical British style bad yard.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses just had no personality.
Glazed over,
dead to the leg. And it was, you know, the instructor can shout bizarre commands, more leg, inside rein and all this. But, you know, I'm a kid. I don't know what those words mean. It wasn't enjoyable. So I think I had probably 6 or 7 lessons before I quit. But after reading one of Monty's books, it kind of reopened my kind of, I need to learn more about it. I loved his concepts of, it seems that it didn't rely on a magic piece of equipment.
Mm.
And that was my thing. Whenever you see a lot of trainers, a lot of their training methods for the horses focuses on this magic piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Monty's books started talking about just doing it with himself and how we gentle the Mustangs down.
Right.
You can't get near them to put a magic piece of equipment.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, it would be really good if you could do it. But you have to somehow, the stage before it is, well, how do you get near a horse to put your magic piece of equipment on? There seemed to be this kind of big disconnect between, well, the horse that you're training is obviously fine with people because you can get near it and you can use your magic tools.
Mm-hmm.
I really was fascinated with the stage before it of doing it just with your own body, with no magic piece of equipment, to start building the trust and to start building this kind of two-way conversation so that then you can get near the horse to then go on and put the equipment on that you need to put on. So that's kind of how I started. And I, like everyone else, you don't know until you try it. So I went and did the introductory course and I did it in Portugal. Because, you know, that was the nearest place to do it that had space on the course. And that's how my journey sort of started. And it, for the first time, it was getting into that round pen and figuring out and playing with the horses and how you can move and how they respond and why they respond the way they do just by using your own body. For the first time, you had an instructor that when you asked a stupid question, they knew the answer. And there's no such thing as stupid questions, but even just basic questions.
Really?
And that's how.
And the horses were surprised the same in the flight mechanism and everything. You have big shires, you had big old.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they all work the same. The key to it is getting in there, playing with them and figuring them out. And, you know, they all have their flight response. They all have their own history, which we might know something about, but maybe we don't. Mm-hmm. And often I don't like knowing their history because it can cloud what you think. So once you get used to the muscle memory of how your body works and what they're taking from it, you've then got much more brain power to watch how they move, why they move the way they do. And is there things that I can spot that when I then come to train you or get you in a trailer, mm-hmm. can I spot how you like to move and how you like to do things so that I can set up the trailer in a way that makes sense to you? Even something basic about, you know, do you favor your left or your right leg? Can I somehow set you up at the ramp so you use that one first? And as Monty says, all of this is, you know, choice-based horsemanship. So the horse has free choice. So if you ask a horse a really simple question, like, would you please come towards me? You know, even pay attention to, well, what eye does he put you in? What side does he favor you on? You don't need to know why, but note it, mm-hmm. because it can help. Because if I keep leading you and you keep favoring and putting me over into your right eye, well, when I introduce you to scary objects or try and get you in the trailer, I'm going to probably put myself in your right eye. I don't know why you want me there, but you obviously do.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to people, Eve, the fundamentals of kind of working with horses, even though a lot of horses I work with are really well trained, the basic fundamentals is missing in their head. Some of them can't even lead properly, making the horses the most confident versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Mm-hmm. That's really good for people to hear. Your superpower? Your favorite thing to teach, demonstrate, or even just work with horses on?
I like, to teach wise, I love getting students to not worry about the rope, get in there and kind of figure out what I call the bubble work, is how to use your body to make the horses move and flow in a way that is predictable. I love getting people more confident around horses that have had bad experiences, but I do like the teaching side of it. From a training point of view, I think in my head is the move you're trying to do or the question you're asking your horse right now, you should have taught the horse the kind of move or the answer to that question like the day before. So, but from a reading your horse perspective, I love trailer loading because you turn up to a horse that for obvious reasons doesn't like trailers because I'm there because someone's called me out, but I don't know the horse. You barely know the history, but we've got a problem with trailers. And you see everything about what that horse thinks of himself or herself and the world within about 9 feet from the trailer ramp. You can tell, and it's just a way to read them within that very short, concentrated 9 foot area around the trailer. I just love trying to work out the puzzle of, right, can I get a good feel for you? Are you a right-handed horse, left-handed horse? What is it about the trailer that you don't like? And often it's not quite what the owner may think it is. And if I can help sort you out and teach you to lead within about 9 foot of the ramp, I've probably got a good choice, good chance of getting you in. Mm-hmm. So the fundamentals, you know, I think I tend to use and get all of my clients and all of my students to just think figure eight. Until you can get a horse that does a nice, simple figure of eight on the ground with no pull in the line, doesn't run you over, doesn't get in front of you on the right-hand turn if you're leading on the left, is until you get this basic figure of eight, that can become kind of like the handshake that starts every single exercise.
It's good.
It's a grounding thing for the horse. It's a really easy, what could be easy once they get it, but it's also for the human. It's kind of like, well, if it all goes wrong, I'll just go back to the fundamentals of a simple leading figure of eight. And I use the figure of eight because it's just a combination of straight line forward and a left turn and a right turn. Everything you do forevermore is either in a straight line or a left turn or a right turn. So if you have this kind of secret little handshake between the horse, if the horse starts getting worked up, you can go back to this simple figure of eight, even at the showground where you go somewhere new.
That's good.
You can use this as this grounding exercise that, or like a check-in exercise for the horse and yourself. So if your brain starts to get a bit worried and confused and you lose the rhythm, just go back to the simple figure of eight and then go from there. Mm-hmm. And I tend to use that pretty much all of the time. And yeah, the same is true in the saddle.
Good.
So
that's good to know too. Yeah. I don't remember you mentioning that too. So do you have any great stories about saving a horse, or it's your superpower?
Yeah. I think the horse that taught me more than any horse was a horse called Fox that we rescued probably 15, 16 years ago now. And from I always get asked, what's the hardest horse you've ever worked? There are a top three for different behaviors, but he was one of the hardest I've ever worked from the point of view of not being able to get near him. He was more flighty than a Mustang. You couldn't get near him. And he was, if you could get near him, he was incredibly dangerous with the escape that he would take, because he would just panic and go. And he would go through you if you were in the way. I've never met a horse with so much inbuilt fear for a human being. Forget head collars, forget saddles, forget everything else he's gone through. He's got a problem with absolutely every single piece of equipment because it's all been used on him. But the common picture that he had was all of those pieces of equipment are always attached to a human being. So how about I have a massive fear of human beings as well? So we rescued him, and he taught me more in the first month than any horse has ever taught me about what they actually see and how they kind of watch every single movement. And we're trying to build these new sequences and these new behaviors in. And I wasn't getting frustrated at him, but I was getting frustrated at myself, because I thought I was doing the advance and retreat of pressure and reteaching him the sequences of my body of how to get a head collar on. But some days it would work and you think you're making progress. And 4 days later, again, he'd do the dangerous escape. And you'd look back at the video or people watching me, and the only thing that had changed was, well, I'd changed sweatshirts. And if you change clothes on him,
different person.
You're a different, I'm trying to cling on to the picture memories that you're making with you. And when we did this, you were wearing this and you look like that. If you put a hoodie on, it's a different image, and it's different enough for him mm-hmm. that was the key of how much he's taking in. And the only reason I actually spotted it was because I was running late and didn't have time to change what I thought. I thought I'd changed. Went into the field to go and get him, and I did my sequences and we did the dance, and I got up to him and I was just about to put the rope over his neck, which I'd done many days before. And he absolutely shot away from me harder than he's ever gone before. And I was there kind of in this, well, I know my position was right. I know I'd got the dance and the sequence right. And I was kind of looking down at my feet. And then about 4 seconds went past before my brain realized I wasn't wearing my boots. Mm. And I was in completely different, like Nike sneakers. And my brain went, I wonder if it is because of different shoes. So I went and tried it.
Same day?
Same day. Went and got my boots, went and got back into the same clothes that I always wore and kept the sequence the same, and he let me catch him. So it suddenly, as well as reading them, they're obviously, it's a two-way conversation. They are reading you.
They're probably better at it.
And they're way better at it, and he was a stallion, and they're way better at this kind of noticing differences. And when you're working with a rescue horse, you're trying to give them these images that are the images that we want and the behaviors that we want. So he was noticing everything, and it was a real eye-opener of how much mm-hmm. it is this two-way conversation. And if you change something, however minor, you don't even notice. Humans don't even notice. Mm-hmm. But when you're working with a rescue horse like him, they notice everything, and everything's important to them. So he was the kind of horse, and I would do it. I would go out and buy just to kind of see if it was true, because my brain was like, is he taking advantage, or not advantage? Is he kind of noticing these differences, or is it me? So I would do things like go out and buy a completely different brand of shampoo, like that smelt completely differently.
That's a good idea.
And go up to him and kind of go, you're going to let me catch you today? And he would let me catch him, but you could tell he was more tense.
Yeah, he wasn't sure.
So it's kind of like you're trying to bleed all of these images together. So for him, and I've done it with two other horses in 15 years, where for the first 2 weeks I'm wearing the same set of clothes. I might smell like horses most of the time.
I was going to say, don't wash them.
Yeah, don't wash
them. That might be bad.
You end up smelling quite interesting at the end of 2 weeks. But for some of these really serious rescue horses, mm-hmm. people chop and change the way they look or how they move without even realizing it.
Yeah.
But the horses notice everything. So he taught me more about this kind of sequencing of behaviors and how it is this two-way conversation. And for all the moves I'm doing, he has a counter move. Well, yesterday you moved your arm like this, and I have to tip my nose in response. And that's the kind of key to watching them.
It's beautiful. That is a true student of the language of equus. Good job.
But if it wasn't for Fox, I don't think I would have spotted it so in depth and. Mm-hmm. And how it is everything, yeah. Environment, weather, everything.
Yeah.
And then you start noticing when you bring horses into different situations, you start noticing what they notice. So we had the class that have just gone through, and we had our trailer loading day, and you face the students in towards the trailer and go, well, what kind of problems could a horse have with this trailer? And obviously being human, we look for the big stuff, you know, the partitions and everything else, or the color of the floor or the smell. Well, the horse doesn't know any of that. He doesn't know what a partition is until he knows what a partition is. He's not forward thinking and guessing. But as you're approaching that trailer, he can certainly spot the massively bright different color hay string that's tied up in the corner. And that's what he's going to spot. He doesn't know what the partition is. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with, so we have one horse at home in England, and we have our little bumper pull trailers with the back and the side door exit. And you could get him in, but on the way out, he would absolutely panic and run. And it's quite a tight turn with our trailers on the front ramp.
Right, yeah.
And he would always scuff his hip.
Oh.
or run the owner over.
Yeah.
But so you could get him in, but he couldn't seem to hold himself in for very, very long. The owners have tried lots of stuff before I get there. And it, again, if it wasn't for Fox, the second I saw that trailer and I watched him and led him up the ramp, well, that's a free choice exercise. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, how do you get up this ramp? And more importantly, where is your attention? Because out of everything that you can see, what has got your attention? And I just kind of led him up the ramp and stopped him. And he was looking up in the top right-hand corner of this trailer. And I looked, followed his eye line and looked. And it was a brand new piece of hay string that they'd used to tie up the hay net. And it was brand new. And I said to the owner, I was like, I think, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think he doesn't like or has a problem with the new piece of hay string. So if I'm right, I took the hay string out and he stood perfectly still. So sometimes you have these massive behaviors and reactions. Mm-hmm. So often humans are looking for massive reasons why. And from the horse's point of view, often it's not what you think. Read your horse.
Read your horse. You said something very intelligent to the owner of a horse that you were loading this week. And that they hadn't thought of is, what's the last few times you've done with your horse when you've loaded them on the trailer? And is your anxiety down and everything? Well, she said that several trips to the veterinarian, the clinic.
Yeah.
And so even that can raise your adrenaline, raise the horse's adrenaline.
Yeah.
And you said, I like it.
Well, that's quite a common thing. It's a bit like your dog knows that left-hand turn into the veterinary office.
Right.
It's not the horses are thinking that, but if every time I've gone on this trailer and then come off the trailer, the sequence is, well, I'm going to the vets. So it becomes, well, I'm going to be more reluctant to get on that trailer, or I'm going to be more nervous. What's the kind of reason for me getting on that trailer? If you build in this constant sequence of the last time you went in and came out for the last three or four times we ended up at the vets, don't be surprised if some horses start refusing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't get out of that sequence because we have to go to the vet. So I would kind of keep it in my head. Well, how many times has he done something that I would like go to the vets, and how many times has it been for him? Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of redress that balance. And I say it a lot to my clients, especially with horses that have never been loaded or have a big problem with loading, is if once you're in and you can close them all in, I tell my clients to like chauffeur limo drive them to their own turnout. And the look on the horse's face of, where am I? I'm in the theater. We drive here and you get your personal chauffeured drive to your turnout field. You get to hang out with your friends for the night. And then often, once we're okay with that, the first time I go out with clients' horses, we usually go to a friend's farm 10 minutes down the road, unload them, hang out. You can have, an hour in a field and I'll load you back up. Rather than, you even get it with the show horses, is if, well, every time I get in this trailer and we go to the other end, it's always the show. Even if I might like the show, it's a lot of work and hard work at the other end. So do something that the horse wants to do.
That's good.
Make the trailer a nice place to be. The trailer should be a hangout place. But also from a behavior point of view, what usually starts the trailer loading problem is the big behavior that you need your horse to do in a trailer, aside from everything else, is to stand still. If you can't get a horse, your horse to stand still, or it doesn't even think that standing still is an option, mm-hmm. you're going to have trouble standing a horse in a trailer. And I think it links into kind of one of the things I tell all of my clients is, no matter what you're doing with your horse, no matter how easy or complicated the thing that you're doing with your horse, the key to success from the horse's point of view is just relax. We can't do anything until you relax. Because you're tense, everything about you is extra sensitive. I think the answer in the horse's head is, I think the answer to any problem should be just relax. Because it helps us or and the horse kind of make a good decision and kind of they will be less reactive. Yeah. The answer to the vet farrier being clipped, getting in a trailer, ultimately the state of mind they're in when they do these exercises is often, and I think, more important than the physical moves that accompany those exercises. So what you often find at home is the horse can do the physical move that you want them to do, mm-hmm. but the state of mind that's being interacted with and rewarded is tense. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to go well the longer it goes on.
That's right. Not fun.
So I spend a lot of my time stripping back to just relax. I know you know all of these fancy moves, but just relax. If you relaxed, you'd find the moves easier. And to me, I want to hang out with my horses and just be part of the group. And you want to be seen as the softest point of pressure in that group. Mm-hmm. So many horses I see don't relax until their owner walks out the gate. I think, you know, that I think that's, you're missing a bit of a trick if you can't get your horse to relax near you. Or often, even with supposed natural horsemanship trainers, is like that horse is tense. You're always asking something of that horse. Mm. Just relax around it and get the horse to relax, because it stands you in good stead when you start training behaviors into them that you'd like.
And you're so good at teaching the breathing and the stance and the eye placement and so many things that get your horse to relax. That's great. So how do people come take a class so they can learn all these things from you, Chris?
Well, obviously, all of Monty's courses that I teach, they're all on my website, which is Whispering Equus. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook and the usual places. I teach all of the courses generally over the summer, because that's usually when we can rely on English weather. So all of the courses are running this year. The big introductory course this year, which is 12 days long, I'm actually teaming up with a fellow instructor, Claire Cousins, and we're doing it at her place near Eastbourne. So we can have a slightly bigger group and concentrate on lots of different exercises teaching the courses. Obviously, you can study these concepts with any instructor around the globe, and obviously here at the California Horse Center. We are running courses all year. Mm-hmm. I'm also will be in Poland doing a show. You can come and see me there. Mm-hmm. There will be details on the website. Mm-hmm. And yeah, come and learn. Just start the journey. Whether you're interested in taking the whole journey to become a certified instructor, or if you just want to learn why and how a horse behaves the way it does. Mm-hmm. And I think one little tip I would have for anyone who's interested in horses or trying to decide what method, the in method to, I would say to people, what I tell all of my students is, whoever you're watching, whatever instructor or whoever it is, watch the YouTube video, put it on mute. Don't listen to a word they say. And just watch the horse. And sometimes you'd be surprised how the move that the human does is not what the horse thinks. Whereas if you come and learn my bubble game, which you'll hear about if you come on one of my courses,
exactly.
You will start to see, if you watch Monty videos, how it flows and the movements he makes, and the horse is his mirror. So until you learn that, that is what I think is the key for working with horses. Learn how to your body, how to move your body and interact with the horse, and get a feel for them, rather than concentrate on the kind of book theory of what we think is happening, mm-hmm. and just go with the flow.
That's perfect. Thank you. Chris Morris, thank you for being on Horsemanship Radio.
No problem.
Giving us so much knowledge, but also putting yourself out there for courses and teaching too. So
no problem. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, there's something deeply moving about watching a Mustang choose to trust. In our new series at BonnieRobertsUniversity.com, Underground Work and Foundational Lessons, we take you inside the journey of training a Mustang to come quietly to the mounting block. Not through pressure, but through understanding, through timing, through the language of the horse. This isn't just about getting on. It's about building confidence from the first step on the ground. If you've ever wanted to start a horse the right way or restart one with kindness, come learn with us. Join me at MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Let's build partnership from the ground up. We are grateful that this episode is brought to you by our title sponsor, Dry Me Solarium, helping horses feel their best with therapeutic infrared technology trusted by professional barns around the world. Visit dryme.usa.com and use the promo code MONTY1 for $150 off your purchase. And by our show sponsor, MontyRobertsUniversity.com, the most comprehensive place anywhere to learn Monty Roberts' concepts and methods of nonviolent horsemanship. For details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com, where you can find links and photos and more information about our guests. We love connecting with our listeners, so please follow us on Facebook under facebook.com/Monty Roberts and Instagram, instagram.com/Monty_Roberts. Be sure to visit all the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.